All right, I mentioned this morning that this is the kind of sermon that's probably going to make you mad. It'll make parents mad. It'll make wives mad. It'll make husbands mad. I don't know if it'll make the kids mad or not. It might, but we'll have to see. But my text is that last part of that verse, in verse 15 of Joshua chapter 11, where it says, "He left nothing undone of all that the Lord commanded Moses." The title of my sermon tonight is a question. What have you left undone? What have you left undone? I want to make six statements by way of introduction. And hopefully I can get you to identify with these statements because they form the basis of my message tonight. Number one, life is too short to do everything that we're supposed to do. It's too short. I mean, every day is too short to do the things that we think we need to do. I mean, I didn't get everything done today that I needed to get done. I didn't get everything done yesterday that I needed to get done. I didn't get everything done Friday that I needed to get done. And even though tomorrow's a holiday, I got a list of things to do. And my guess is by the time I go to bed tomorrow night, I will be able to say the same thing about tomorrow. I will not get everything done tomorrow that I need to do. Life is just too short. There's not enough hours in a day to get everything done that we need to do. How many of you can say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. We're together so far. Number two, so if life is too short to get everything done that we need to do, something must be left undone. I mean, if I don't have time to do everything that I need to do, that means by default that there are some things that I need to do that are left undone. I mean, I just don't get to them. For example, I'll just give you an example. I shouldn't probably tell you this, but I haven't cut my grass for about a month now. I mean, I'm glad it's been dry, although I got some crabgrass that's pretty high, but between going to my mom's, I keep hers cut because I hear about it if I don't hear it cut hers. I just haven't been able to get around to get my grass cut. Now, that's one of the things I hope when I get home on Tuesday afternoon, I can get my grass cut this week, but that's one of the things that I have left undone. Statement number three, most of us leave the most important things undone to do the least important things. So I can't do everything. Some things must be left undone. So I have to make choices. And most of us make the choice to leave the most important things undone to do the least important things. And you might say, well, preacher, why would you say that? Here's why I say that. It comes in the form of statement number four. The important things that need to be done never clamor for our attention or time. It's usually the little things that need to be done that demand our attention and demand our time. The big things don't make any noise. The big things don't squeak. The big things don't reach out and grab us and say, hey, you need to get me done. I found in my experience that the big things don't do that. It's the little things. I used to work with a guy. He would call these things ankle peckers. These are the little things that, yeah, they need to be done. And they're the ones that squeak. They're the ones that demand our attention. They're the ones that grab us and say, you need to do me. And so statement number five, so if the important things are going to be done, I have to do them on purpose. I have to do them by schedule. Unless I do them by schedule, unless I do them on purpose, because they don't reach out and grab me and say, hey, you got to do me, because they don't clamor for my time, those are the ones, if I don't do them on purpose, if I don't do them on schedule, remain undone. So number six, show me the things that you've left undone. And again, I ask the question in the title of my sermon, what have you left undone? Show me the things that you've left undone. I'll tell you what kind of child you are. Show me the things you've left undone. I'll tell you the kind of wife you are. Show me the things you've left undone. I'll tell you the kind of husband you are. Show me the things you've left undone. I'll tell you what kind of Christian you are. So I want you to just think about those statements as I launch into my message. Joshua was a man that had more to do than he had time to do. He had to lead the army. He had to follow the instructions that Moses had given him, and he had to follow the instructions that he now got from God. And so he had to make he had to listen to God. He had to rally the troops. He had to organize the troops. He had to get everybody ready to go into battle. He had to lead the people. I believe he acted much like Moses did, not only as the general of the army, but as the judge of the nation. I think that when Moses set up the judges and they brought the easy cases to the judges, that continued in the book of Joshua, but the hard cases they brought to him just like they did to Moses. And so he had to be concerned that everybody had enough to eat, that everybody had enough water to drink, that everybody had a place to camp, that the camp was organized, that everything that was done, that needed to be done from an administrative standpoint needed to be done. He was also a husband, and so he had a wife to take care of. He was also a father, and so he had children to raise. He couldn't do everything that he needed to do, and so he made some choices. He made some decisions as to what he was going to get done and to what he was going to leave undone, to what he was going to do and to what he was not going to do. And so Joshua says, I need some criteria, I need some way to choose what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And here's what he said, everything that Moses commanded me to do, I'm going to do. Every command that Moses gave me, that every command that God gave to Moses and Moses passed to me, and that's what that verse says there in verse 15. As the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua, and so did Joshua. He left nothing undone that God commanded Moses. And so Joshua, this was his criteria. I can't do everything I need to do. There's going to be some things that have to be left undone. I need a way to make the decision. I need a way to make the choice as to what I'm going to do and what I'm going to leave undone. So here's my criteria. Everything that Moses commanded me to do, and by the way, Moses only commanded him to do what God commanded Moses to do, but everything that Moses commanded me to do, that's what I'm going to get done first. I'm going to make sure I get that done. I'm going to make sure I accomplish that. And then he said, if I have any time after doing those things, I'll take care of all this other stuff that need to be done. But I'm not going to start working on this other stuff until I get done what Moses commanded me to do. I think it would be wonderful in our life if we could set up some kind of criteria the same way that Joshua did. If we had some way something to base our decision on as to what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, as to what we're going to get done and what we're not going to get done. Oh, by the way, I think we could use the same criteria that Joshua did. Joshua says, everything that God commanded Moses and Moses commanded me, that's what I'm going to do. Why don't we use the same criteria? Why don't we use the book that God's given us, and why don't we say, the things that God has commanded me to do, I'm going to do that first, and if I have anything else, if I have any time left, I'll do the other things that clamor for my attention. I would submit to you tonight that the commands that are in this book for us as Christians are big things, and they don't clamor for our attention. They don't demand our attention. It's the little things, and I'm not saying these little things are bad. Some of these little things are good. But it's the little things that clamor for our attention, and because they clamor, we spend our time doing those little things, and we ignore the things that God has commanded us to do. For example, I'm going to give you some examples tonight, and this is where you're going to get mad at me. So I'll start with myself so I can get mad at myself. Most preachers have more to do than they have time to do. I do. There were things this week that I absolutely needed to do that I didn't get done because I just didn't have time. There weren't enough hours in the day. They took a survey, and I pretty well agree with what this survey says. The survey said that they asked preachers what were the five most important things they did. And here's what the survey said. Who is that guy that says, survey says? I don't know, but I can't remember. Oh, so here's, somebody tell me, who is... Who? I thought he was dead. Well, who says it now? Isn't there some guy on TV that says, survey says? Yeah, Family Feud. Who's that guy? No, Richard Dawson is dead. Oh, yeah, Steve Harvey. Boy, I thought I could find somebody that was watching a lot of TV. It's just like pulling teeth almost. That's right. All right, so here we go. Here's what the survey says. And I agree with these results for the most part. They said number one thing a pastor ought to do is spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. Number two is study the Bible. Number three, it was hospital visits. Number four is member visits. And number five, church administration. That was the order, the top five important things that pastors should do. Now, they also took a survey that said, list the five things that you spend most time at. It was just the opposite of what the most important things were. Most pastors said, I spend most of my time in church administration. Then I spend time visiting members. Then I spend time visiting hospitals. And then I spend time studying the Bible. And then I spend time in prayer. So they say these are the five most important things, but they turn them completely around when you ask them, well, what do you do? What do you actually do? So, again, let me give you an example. There's no commandment in the Bible that pastors ought to conduct weddings. Nowhere in the Bible does it say pastors need to conduct weddings. Now, I conduct weddings. In fact, I have a wedding on Saturday. David Garcia, David and Pam's oldest, their oldest son, is getting married to Nicole on Saturday. And they called me up and asked me if I would do the wedding. I said I'd love to. Love to do it. So I'm going Saturday, going Friday night, and then going back Saturday to marry David and Nicole. But there's no command for me to conduct marriages. I mean, it's not on the list of the five most important things to do. And yet, I try to make time to, you know, conduct marriages because I think it can be a ministry to the people that I marry. I think it could be a ministry of the church. And so I do. But there's no command for me to do that. Now, I used to work with the mayor of Frankenmuth. Jack, he worked out there. I don't know if you remember him or not. I can't remember his name now. But I used to work with the mayor of Frankenmuth. And he told me, and if this was, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, that he was called upon to do 50 weddings a week as the mayor of Frankenmuth. He said, I make more as the mayor of Frankenmuth conducting weddings than I make at GM. 50 weddings a week. Everybody wants to go, you know, to that scenic place. They want to get married by the mayor. Now, if I was to conduct 50 weddings a week, I would have no time to pray. I would have no time to study the Bible. I would have no time to do any of the things that are important. Again, I mean, prayer doesn't clamor for my attention. Bible study doesn't clamor for my attention. But if I had, 50 couples that wanted to get married, they would clamor for my attention. I mean, I have to make choices. I have to decide what I'm going to leave undone. So let me move on. Let me talk to the kids for a minute, okay? Now, this is probably going to make the parents mad, but I'm going to say it anyway. You know there's no command in the Bible for children to go to school. Absolutely none. There's no commandment that says, thou, amen, right, Jameson? There is no commandment in the Bible that says to children, thou shalt go to school. There's no command in the Bible that says you ought to work to get good grades. I mean, there's no command in the Bible that says, thou shalt go to school and do your best to make the honor roll. The Bible doesn't say that. I've read the Bible over and over again. I can't find one verse that says children should go to school. Now, Jameson, I think going to school is a good thing. Aaron's starting on Tuesday. I think it's a good thing that he goes to school. I pray that he makes it all day at school. He's never gone to a place where he's never known anybody and stayed the whole day. But I think it's a good thing that you go to school. I think it's a good thing that you work hard and get the best grade, do the best that you can in school. But there is absolutely no commandment in the Bible that says that you ought to go to school and work hard to get good grades. But there is a commandment in the Bible that says, children, obey your parents. There is a command in the Bible that says, honor thy father and thy mother. Now, even as children, they have more to do than they can get done. They ought to have a criteria that says, here's how I'm going to decide what I do and what I don't do. Here's the criteria I'm going to use to decide what I get done and what I don't get done. And so to Jameson, I guess I'm preaching to you tonight. Well, I'll preach to Josh, and is Stacy back there with you? All right, so I'll preach to them. Don't let a little thing, and I'll say this in quotes, don't let a little thing, going to school and making good grades, become more important than the thing that God commanded you to do. Don't let going to school and getting good grades become more important than obeying mom and dad, than honoring mom and dad. I see these bumper stickers that say, my kid made the honor roll at such and such a school. And I saw one the other day that said, my kid beat up your kid that made the honor roll at such and such a school. I'd like to see a bumper sticker that says, my kid is obedient. My kid honors his mom and dad. That's more important than going to school. That's more important than getting good grades. Now, again, I think you ought to go to school, and I think you ought to work as hard as you can and make the best grades you can and learn as much as you can. But listen, that's not the most important thing that you need to do in your life. The most important thing you need to do in your life is obey mom and dad and honor mom and dad. We've had parents. I've talked to them, and they get mad at me. They said, well, we're not coming to church tonight because little Johnny's sick, and we need to keep him home so he can get well so we can go to school tomorrow. And I always say, hey, if you got to make a choice between church and school, choose church. Bring him to church tonight and let him stay home tomorrow. And they throw up their hands and they say, oh, we can't do that. He'll be a truant, and we just can't do that. Well, what's more important? What's more important? Assembling yourselves together with God's people, hearing from the Word of God, hearing from the Holy Spirit, or going to school, learning where Norway is. I think you ought to know where Norway is, but what's more important? What I'm saying is, we can't do everything that we need to do. We make choices, and if we don't decide how we're going to make the choices by default, we'll let the less important things become more important than the important things, and we'll make choices that are not pleasing to God. So, Angie, you're the only parent here tonight. Are you mad at me because I told Jameson not to go to school? A little bit. Okay. Don't throw anything. Let me move on. I better get to my notes so I remember everything I want to say. Let me move on. Let me talk to the ladies for a minute. You've read Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, describe a virtuous woman. In those verses are listed several good things that women ought to be. In fact, there are some churches that have Proverbs 31 clubs that teach young girls, based on Proverbs 31, what they should be as they grow up to be ladies. Do you ever notice that in Proverbs 31, there's not one command given to ladies? There's not one command. If you don't believe me, go home tonight and read it. There's some good things listed. I mean, you know, that those verses talked about keeping her family clothed, and so she spins and sews and makes the clothes. Those verses talk about feeding the family, about buying a field and planting a vineyard, even going out to help make a living, keep the house clean. And all those are good things. But there is not one command in Proverbs 31. There's not a commandment that says, that commands women to be good seamstresses. There's not a command in the Bible to be a good cook. There's not a command in the Bible to help make the household income. There's not a command in the Bible for any of those things. Now, you know, let me just say quickly, I believe in those things. I think it's good. I think it's wonderful for ladies to know how to cook. I think it's wonderful that they know how to sew. I think it's wonderful that they can help make the household income. I think those are wonderful things, and I'm not discounting any of those, but I'm saying there is no command in the Bible for any of those things. There is a command in the Bible in Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. There is a command into the Bible in the Bible in Ephesians 5:24, wives, be subject to your own husband in everything. It's good that you can sew. It's good that you can cook. It's good that you can keep a clean house. But if you do those things and don't submit to your husband, you don't subject yourself to your husband, your priorities are wrong. And if I haven't made you mad yet, hang on, I'm going to get there. Let me just go a step further. If you do all those things and don't submit yourself to your husband, you're letting the little things become more important than the big things, and you're not making your choices based on the right thing. Let me go a step further. There's no command in the Bible for a woman to be a good mother. None. If you put your kids in front of your husband, if you put their needs in front of his, if you put helping them in front of helping him, you have made the wrong choice. I believe you ought to be a good mother. I believe that God intends for you to be a good mother, but you were made as a helpmeet to your husband. You were not made as a mother. You were made as a helpmeet. And there's no command to be a good mother, but there is a command to be subject to your own husband. Let me go a step further. If I haven't got you mad yet, I'll get you mad on this one. There's no command in the Bible to be a good grandmother. Now, don't miss the point. I think you ought to be a good mother. I think you ought to be a good grandmother. But if you are being a good mom and you are being a good grandma and you are ignoring your husband, you're ignoring his needs, you're ignoring his desire, you're giving first place to your children and to your grandchildren, you're not making the right choice. And again, please don't misunderstand. You know, Jameson, I don't want you to go home and tell your dad, hey, preacher says I don't got to go to school tomorrow. I'm not saying that. Nick's bigger than I am. He'd hit me if I said that. And I'm not saying to you ladies that please don't go home and say, hey, preacher said I don't have to be a good mom. I'm not saying that. I think you ought to be a good mom. I think you ought to be a good grandma. But I'm saying if you put those things in front of being a good wife, you're making the wrong choice. You're not making your decisions based on the criteria that we should have from this book. I'll go a step further. There's no command for women to teach Sunday school. There's no command for women to work in the nursery. There's no command for women to work in the kitchen. We need them in all those places. And I think you ought to be willing at times to help in those places. But that is not your number one priority. Your number one priority is your husband and your submission to him and your help for him. And again, please, nobody leave this place and say, preacher doesn't think we ought to be good moms. I think you ought to be a good mom. I think you ought to be a good grandma. I praise God for the mothers and the grandmothers that we have in their place, godly women that are godly mothers and godly grandmothers. But don't get your priorities mixed up. If you're going to leave something undone, leave it undone for the grandkids and not for your husband. Leave it undone for the kids and not undone for your husband. See, if the men were brave, they'd be saying amen, amen, amen. And all of them are being quiet. They're not saying nothing. That's right, I understand. All right, you got to hurry. I got the kids mad. I got the parents mad. I got some of the women mad. Now let me move to the men. Amen. So here we go. There's no command in the Bible for your yard to look like a golf course. Amen. I put that in there because I haven't cut my grass in 4 weeks. There's no command in the Bible for you to live in a nice house. There's no command in the Bible for you to drive a nice car. There's no command in the Bible for you to have a lot of money in the bank. But there is a command in the Bible that says you ought to love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Amen?
Amen.
There's a command in the Bible that says that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. When I use that verse in weddings, I used it a week or so ago with John's niece. And I told her husband, Steve, as I was marrying him, I said, that verse means, Steve, that if there ever comes a time in your life with Angel where you're called upon to make a choice, your life or hers, you give your life for her. That's the kind of love that God's talking about that we ought to have for our wives. There's no command in the Bible that we men be macho. Now, I think we ought to stay in shape. I think we ought to, you know, control our diet and exercise and be in shape as much as we can. I'll just preach to myself right now. But listen, if you spend more time on your Bowflex than you do with your wife, you are making the wrong choice. If you spend more time on the lawnmower cutting the grass than you do with your wife, you're making the wrong choice. If you spend more time in the garden than you do with your wife, you're making the wrong choice. There's no command in the Bible for you to have a big, productive garden. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's good. I enjoy the fruits of your gardens as you share them with me. I surely enjoy them. But what I'm saying tonight is make sure you get your priorities right. What have you left undone? I'd rather leave the garden undone and the lawn undone and the house undone and my exercise undone if it calls sacrificing time with my wife. And you know, Debbie's gone, so I'm preaching hypothetically tonight, and I didn't always make the right choices. I spent too much time working, not enough time with her. God says, get your choices right. Get the criteria by which you're going to decide down pat. It's not what the world says. It's not the things that clamor for us to do. I mean, my grass is clamoring for me to cut the grass. I mean, every time I pull into my garage, I sort of shut my eyes because I don't want to see the grass. I would rather take care of my mom than take care of my grass. And if you have a wife tonight, I hope you'll say, I'd rather take care of my wife and love my wife than I would take care of my grass, take care of my garden, take care of my house, take care of my exercise. Let me go on. Here's where I'll make the kids mad. Jameson, get ready. I didn't make you mad the first time. I'm going to make you mad on this one. There's no command in the Bible to take your kids on vacation. No command in the Bible to take them to Cedar Point or some water world or Disney World. No command in the Bible to do that. But there is a command in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 that says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I believe what that verse means is that we ought to read the Bible with them. We ought to pray with them. We ought to have family devotion with them. And I'm not saying that you can't go and enjoy vacations. I'm not saying that you can't go and have a good time at different places. But look, if that's more important than bringing your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you're making the wrong choices. You're leaving things undone that ought not to be left undone. And so I'll end where the same place I started tonight. What have you left undone? What have you left undone? How do you decide? Because every single one of us have more to do than we have time to do. How do we decide what we do? Here's what happens. When we don't decide on purpose, the little things demand our attention. The little things demand our time. And again, these things are not bad. They're all good things. Please, nobody leave tonight and think the preacher's against ladies being good moms and against dads cutting their grass. I'm not against any of that stuff. I think it's all good stuff in its proper priority. There's some things that God says, hey, this is what I want you to do. And if we let the little things rob us of all our time and never get to those things, then we're making the wrong choice. We're making the wrong choice. What have you left undone? How do you decide what to leave undone? What's your criteria? Joshua said, well, here's what I'm going to use. Everything that God commanded Moses, that he commanded me, I'm going to make sure I get all that done. I'm going to leave none of that undone. I'm going to do what God commanded Moses and what Moses commanded me. And I would submit to you tonight that we have some commands in this book that we ought to order our life by. We ought to make sure that we get these things done. And if we have time for the rest of it, that's good. I mean, they're not bad things, they're good things. But they become bad things when they steal all our time and we can't get to these things. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your instruction in it. And I pray tonight that we would examine how we're spending our time, how we're spending our life, and Father, what we're leaving undone. And if there's some things that we're leaving undone that you said, no, this is important. This is what I want you to do. This is what I command you to do. And Father, I pray you'd help us reorder our priorities, reorder the use of our time, and get those things that you've commanded us to do done. Father, again, I pray, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, help them to see they're a sinner, and the wages of sin is death, but that you loved them so much, as we sang about a moment ago, you loved them so much, as we pictured in the Lord's Supper a moment ago, that you loved us so much that Jesus went to a cross, died in our place, paid for our sins, and if we come and ask him, he'd save us. And so, Father, if there's just one here tonight that isn't sure they're on their way to heaven, help them make sure before they leave. Help them just walk the aisle in just a second. We'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be our Savior. Holy Spirit, speak to us as Christians. Again, help us to examine what we're leaving undone. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.